Welcome to That Now Podcast, the only podcast mad enough to embark on a journey through the roller coaster of sounds, symphonies, and squeaks of the now that's what I call music albums. I'm Louis, and joining me as always are our highly qualified resident audiophiles, Marita.
Hello.
And James. Do you want me to do that again?
No, it's good. Hello.
Sorry.
Fresh.
It's when you turn it into like Kiss 100 early 90s.
Remix.
A remix in the house. To listen to the Spotify playlist for this episode's tracks, please click the link in the description. And if you want to get in touch, please email thatnowpodcast@gmail.com or message us on Instagram @thatnowpodcast, and you might feature in the letter sack. During the pod, all of us will pick three tunes from the compilation. These will go to a final poll that you, the listener, can vote for. The top 10 of 1985 will then be inducted in the Hall of Fame 85. So, coming up, we get Queasy for Queen, Emaciated for Eurythmics, and Mournful for Marillion. Plus, look forward to us doffing our caps, Louis' Rest of the Week, and other Now That's What I Call Hogwash. So, let's press play on our smartphones and find out if that is indeed Now That's What We Call Music. Blimey, it was hard this week, wasn't it?
Excellent.
Oh, it's been a hard day. How are you, mate?
Good, very thanks. Good.
I'm a bit hungover, but I'll roll with it.
Oh, yeah?
So you're good.
Minty? Did you just call me Minty?
No. I called you Marita.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, no, I'm fine. Good, thank you.
I was thinking about that chocolate biscuit you ate just before we started. Yeah. I was just like, minty.
Can be your posh alter ego, Marita, if you want.
Hello, I'm Minty. I wear a gilet, I'm called Minty. Yeah, when Marita wears a gilet, she becomes Minty, doesn't she?
Yeah, okay, let's see if Minty's around. What's your alter ego, Jim?
Oh, Sebastian? No, I don't know. Alter ego? Oof. Don't think I
know. Too quick.
Yeah, it was too quick. Is that your imaginary friend?
I was just thinking it was a posh name that would also talk like that. Hello.
Quentin.
Quentin, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Crispin.
Yeah.
Things ending in IN are pretty.
But I don't wear a gilet, so I never get the chance to become my alter ego. That's
okay.
The problem.
Well, we know when to get you for your birthday.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be lovely.
James, I believe you want to ice break today. We are, just before we do though, it is now six, side one, from the 25th of November 1985. Only two Now albums this year. They obviously got a bit sick of making them. However, the public returned the next year, I think, getting four Now albums. So we'll dive into that in a sec. But Jim, ice break away, my man.
Yeah, so recently the song Roadbox has come back into my life, Robbie Williams' Roadbox, and it's a song that I hold great fascination for, and I kind of try and spread the gospel of Roadbox, that it's a song that I hate and love, and I inject it in my body like pure cringe into my veins, because I don't know, are you aware of Roadbox by Robbie Williams?
Sort of. I think I'm going to have to play it quickly just to... catch up again. Is it quite a newer one by him?
No, it's from like 20 years ago. Okay. Do the rude box, shake your rude box. If you rude box me, I'll rude box your whole crew. These are some of the lyrics that he has in this song.
it's a bit like someone sort of licking your ear. You know, it could be pleasant, but it's not.
Yeah, dance like you just won at the Special Olympics. That's a lyric.
No, you're joking.
Nope. Sing a song to Semtex, pocket full of Durex, body full of Mandrex. Are we going to have sex?
No.
Do the rude box, because you are so nasty. Okay, then back to spaceship, take both pills, fuck the Matrix, jack those Jills, shake your Playtex, rock three stripes, not the A6. ADIDAS, old school because it's the best. TK Max cost less. Jackson looks a mess. So my question is, I hate this song, but I'm also absolutely fascinated by it and how Roadbox is both a verb and a noun and lots of things going on. So is there a song that you're also in hate love with that you're fascinated by, that you'd listen to, that you just both can't stand but also can't get enough of?
I'm sure there is. From the top of my head, I'm having trouble coming up with one. It's a tough one. Like, maybe we'll have to think about it and come back with it. But I think, because I think what you're going for there is a real Marmite of it. Like, you really do love it, but you really hate it. And the only ones I can sort of think of are like, maybe, oh, it's a bit funny that it's a bit lame that Louis likes that, but it's not necessarily a bad song that everyone else is sort of like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of songs. Can you think of any others off the top of your head? And I can tell you if I like them. Maui, can you think of anything?
No, it's quite a tough on the spot question.
Maybe Fergalicious.
G L A U S. We're flying first class up in the sky. I quite like that when it came out. I think I did like a single, actually.
What about like a So Solid Crew?
It's gone good, isn't it?
I'm quite good, yeah. 21 seconds, you know?
Man, New Garage before pre-grind.
Oh, hey, I've got one. Remember that Eurovision Song Contest entry that Daz Simpson? What did you learn at school today? And he was like rapping at a classroom. You know, remember that one? That's kind of cringe. Love that one as well.
I felt like it almost happened then. Because I said New Garage, I remember Heartbroken Without Your Love.
T2.
I love that song.
That's great.
It's just a decent song, though.
Right, there you go. See, but I feel like that could wind people up the wrong way. Call On Me. I like that. Eric Prydz came on today.
Yeah.
What about Architects? I'm loving it, loving it, loving it.
I like that. But that's a big one, isn't it? Everyone goes mad for that one.
Yeah.
It's hard. I feel like you've got to go the avenue of disrespected artist or like shit artist. So who are we thinking? Like Peter Andre, Promiscuous Girl? It's quite a banger, really, isn't it?
What was that?
I want to get close to you.
Mysterious Girl.
Yeah, sorry, Promiscuous Girl. I'm thinking of...
Nelly Furtado, Promiscuous.
Oh,
great song.
What was that song that Peter Andre had where he made up his own word? Insania. Do you remember that one? It's a mixture of insane and mania. Insania.
Okay.
That's cringe. That's good. That passes the test, you know?
Yeah, that does pass the test. Mal?
I think I might be a bit of a snob, and I wouldn't have put any cringe song on a playlist. So it's hard for me to think of one off the top of my head because I wouldn't have heard it for years.
It's very minty of you. You snob.
Minty doesn't deal with rude boxes.
I can't come up with one, Jim. I'd have to scour, I'm afraid. It's a hard one.
Maybe some of our viewers can write in with their favourite love-hate cringe songs.
Yeah, what are we calling it? The Marmite genre.
The Marmite test.
The Marmite test.
For me, it's the cringe element that's also really just like...
You've got cringe.
What were they thinking kind of vibe,
Tattoo, all the things she said, straight up banger.
Yeah.
That's just good.
It's just good. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to find the balance of both.
Candy Shop, 50 Cent.
Take it to the candy shop. Yeah. It's a good song.
It's weird. I went to a mini golf place the other day in near Leiden, and they had a candy shop there. And it's full of kids, this mini golf place. And when you got like a token to get sweets out of the candy shop, and every time you did it, played 50 Cent Candy Shop.
Very on the nose. Very on the nose. Yeah, yeah. Let me lick your lollipop. No, don't go over there, Johnny. No, it's a hard one, Jim. I think, one for the listeners, certainly. Just before we do start, there was a little thing I realised. Mal, I don't know if you've seen this in our book that James got us for Christmas, but for each album, they've got a hello and goodbye. And initially, I didn't really understand what that meant, but it was hello to an artist whose first time it is and a goodbye to someone whose last time it is, which is a great feature. Very good. Homework slacking for us, actually. Don't do the hard work, so thanks, Jim. But one to mention about that, which I thought was quite interesting, and we should say a fond farewell, is to Howard Jones.
Howard Jones done.
Last week was his goodbye. So adieu to Howard. Was there anything of his in the final person?
No, nothing from Howard.
His spirit, maybe. His
creativity, maybe.
Yeah, his spirit and his keyboard. Well, and then on this note, on this album, we will say hello next podcast to the Communards, but we will say goodbye this podcast to James's brethren, Nick Kershaw.
Yeah.
James, maybe we should wait to talk about it when, and you can give an ode. You can write down a sort of a funeral march for him.
Sure, yeah. I mean, Nick deserves a farewell. Yeah.
All right, should we get down to brass tacks? All right, number one, it's our old friend's Queen. Not the first time, not the last time, but they do have one vision, and that vision got them to number 7 in the UK charts. Team Marita, Minty, how do you feel about Queen these days? They've come around a lot at the moment. What are we thinking here? We've had a lot of Queen, haven't we?
We have. It seems like almost every side of Now has started with a Queen song. This is no exception. I quite like this song. It's pretty powerful and dramatic and energetic. Although it does seem a bit like they forayed into the Americana territory throughout this song. Doesn't really sound very British anymore. And I quite liked the, would you call it a socialism aspect of the song altogether? You know, that whole morale boosting chant that they've got going on. Although I did read in one website that it's a demand for I can't never say that word. Along with fetishism. I can't say that either. Fascism. Is that right?
Yeah, nice.
And it could be him distancing fascism from Nazism, which I thought was a bit of a stretch. But
wow, that is an intellectual reading, isn't it? Crumbs. Yeah. It says fried chicken at the end.
I was going to say, why are they screaming fried chicken at the end? What's that about?
I think it's because it was something about how they wanted, before they got the lyrics for One Vision, they wanted to like play around with the beat and the words that would come out. So fried chicken, One Vision are the same sort of things. And obviously they didn't want it to be, but they wanted this element of jokiness to it. And I think Freddie and his partner were at home coming up with silly versions and, you know, naughty versions of it and stuff. So I think they sort of left that one in. It's not on all versions of the song. It's a bit of a laugh at the end. And a bit of a shock if you haven't heard it, isn't it? A shock, but like, oh, have I heard that right?
Yeah.
Oh, better get to KFC. Bloody hell. Subliminal messaging. James, are you liking this old Queen, mate?
I think I've just, you know, through this process of going to the Now albums, I've realised that I just don't really get Queen, you know? Mm. It's like, I like the riff, I like some of the lines that they deliver, but this whole fried chicken thing, and like, I don't know whether they've been serious or being jokey, and I feel like a lot of their songs are like that. They're always like, it's never funny enough to know that it is funny, and it's never good enough to know that they're being honest. Perfect. You know what I mean?
Perfect.
Yeah. And there's some of the songs are belters, but we've not had them, you know, like Crazy Little Thing Called Love or something that stands out as a great song, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the songs that we've had on here, just some of these other ones have just...
It's a bit dross, isn't it? We've just had a dross. Yeah, I feel like that. Yeah. I feel that's what like a lot of songs on here. I feel like you get these artists go, wow, like we said it the other week, like if I go to a list of these artists, you'd be like, wow, it sounds like a good album. But it's all the kind of like middle of the road dross ones that might have got to number one, but haven't lasted maybe the test of sort of into our generation, let's say.
I think you realise that everybody's had dross.
Mm. Everyone's had Luther Vandross.
Luther Vandross, yeah.
Everyone's been friends with Luther at some point in their
life. I thought of that joke, but I just didn't want to go there. But...
You set me up, mate. I got to take it.
Never too much, never too much.
I think, yeah, I think this pod has defined that I confirmed, sorry, that I am not the biggest fan of Queen, and I'm not going to be. That's fine. I think they're fine. I kind of like them. I just not their music. I can sort of take it or leave it. I would be fine if I never heard another Queen song again in my life, and that includes Bohemian Rhapsody. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm impressed by it. I'm just trying to be divisive. It's a podcast. Get some opinions out there. But go on, Mal. Why are you shaking your head?
No, I was just going to say. I think I mentioned this before. Their song "Cool Cat," which just sound very Queen-esque, but is amazing.
Okay, I'm going to check that out after this.
Check that out before we make such bold claims.
Such big bold claims, but that's all we're about here. It's black or white, as he says in the song. Readings. You know, come on, we've got to choose one way or the other, okay? Obviously, I mean, I've got some song meanings that are jokes about fried chicken, but we've gone there. We don't need to.
Yeah.
We've all eaten our fried chicken. We all had dinner tonight.
Not yet.
Not yet. You must be starving, mate.
No, I'm all right. Thanks. I had that little chocolate bath time.
Oh, you did. Keep you going. Well, we'll have you for another 5 hours recording, so you can't leave. moving on. Oh, man. I have loads of mics and none of them work. Right, life. Anyway, it's probably a bit like Nick Kershaw's life. He's out of now. He's got no mics that want to listen to him. He's off. That's him. That's him cooked. He's Kershaw, James. When a heart beats, and that's his nail in the coffin. His heart's not beating anymore because it went in at bloody 27 in the UK charts.
Number 27. Disappointing exit from Nicky Boy. I did say not one of Nick's finest hours, but I think there's flashes of his skill. I like these lyrics. No wood anywhere. We can only see trees. Last train for material refugees. Thought-provoking. I think pretty much the only thing I liked was this nice little quirky guitar solo after his first chorus, which...
We're too early. 1:30. That's mental.
Yeah, I like quirky guitar solos. It reminds me of like some of the guitar solos from Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tiz Fizz. Like, really... unorthodox playing, let's say, that just sounds good. If you're a skilled guitarist like me, you notice these things, you know. But Nick, this is pretty poor. Don't really know what it's all about. Poor chorus. Verses aren't any good either. He's on his way out. Sorry, Nick. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think he's been hanging around with David Sylvian and Marillion too much. And he's thought, right, I'm going to do something wacky. And then his one wacky hit took him out of the charts forever. I was just trying to listen to this song now, like just to catch up in this down period. And it said, Nick Kershaw burst onto the scene in 1984. He's already left, 1985. Short time.
Burst and left, yeah.
Burst and left. Mal, are you as slamming on this as we are?
Hate it. What are the bits where he says, why already? he's really struggling to hit the high notes and is pretty much drowned out by any musical element. And then further than, like, it's so bad. It's really bad, isn't it?
Like, it starts this album. So Queen was sort of Queen, and we know what that's like. It's fine. Mm. And then it starts with this. This is the second we're getting from side one. And I'm thinking, what? Oh, no. This is our strong side, and we're number two. And I was correct in my assumption that, wow, what we've got to come is emblematic of how shit this is. Wow, I couldn't actually listen to it through once. I had to turn it off. It was so bad. I tried twice, and just now I had to, as soon as I was reminded, I threw it off again. I'm angry. This song makes me angry with how bad it is.
When a heart beats, you can feel forever. Is that the lyric?
We seek eternity in all the things we buy. Not top priority, but it sure figures very high. No. No, absolutely not.
Who gets to heaven?
Heaven knows.
You wanker. Shut up. Put that lyric book down. My God. It's trying to be wacky. It's trying to be out there. I hate it.
Mal?
He's trying to be wacky, yet he's singing like a Disney princess. So, making that what you will.
Yeah. Pick a side, Nick. Yeah. Either become Frozen, you know, Lola, whatever her name is, or stick to Nick. What's her name?
Elsa.
Bloody hell. Anyway, that can be cast into the sun. Do you know there's a 6 minute 21 second version of that?
That's our favourite.
6 minutes 21 seconds too long. Absolutely outrageous.
Doesn't top the 7 minute version of Private Dancer though.
That's because she was under duress.
It's a traumatic incident. Yeah.
She had to keep singing. The video for this is that you could tell that the label were really starting to think, right, I think Nick's had his day. Like, they weren't pumping the money into the video anymore. And it's just some scaffolding. And then he is on a part of the scaffolding that, as much as you could have maybe flashily lowered him down quite sort of like that, they just slowly, like a mile an hour, lower it down. And it's sort of like, I think at some point someone just walks off and that has a bag or something, because it sort of just stops. And they go, Nick, wait, we haven't got enough money to lay you down anymore. Maybe you just stand on the stair. And it's so embarrassing. And it is the end. That's what it is.
Oh.
Is it the end of Nick Kershaw? He comes back later on this album.
Does he? But it's his goodbye. This is his last.
It's his goodbye with him as the artist, but he's in the background meddling away.
Oh, he is, isn't it? God. That makes this album even worse. How can you come back?
And he comes back in the early 90s with "I Am the One and Only." He wrote that for Chesney Hawkes.
Yeah.
So he's still got a belter in him, the lad, you know?
Yeah, but he hasn't got his name on it. Keith, that's the point, you know, because they said, we're not putting your name on that.
But he's
never like, going to sell.
He's like Julius Caesar. He came, he saw, he conquered. You know, he can retire in 85. You only need one good year. Played Live Aid. Get out of there, man. You know?
True. Did you get any money for Live Aid, though, do you?
Good point.
All right, I'm sick of you, Nick. It's been nice knowing you. But, you know, Kershaw, Ross. Number three, Fergal Sharkey, A Good Heart. Number one in the UK charts, everyone. Wow. I've put Louis Sweat of the Week. I quite liked it. I'd never heard of it before. Nice, basic, fun. I think the thing is, what you've got to remember, everyone, is that as much as my colleagues here have dissed on previous Now albums, this side is categorically the worst side of music we have had so far. There is wall-to-wall shite. I am getting exclamations from both of them. Maybe I've had a bad week. Maybe that's true. But my God, I could barely listen to a lot of these. And that is my reason for Fergal Sharkey, A Good Heart, to be my one of Hall of Fames for the week.
I think we think this is quite good.
I like this song.
Yeah, like, this is good. Out of a bad bunch.
No, I think this side of Now is okay too.
Yeah,
but you're wrong. That's the difference. I'm joking. I'm angry. But it was a bit more middle of the road. This was, you know. Anyway, talk to me why I'm wrong, and tell me about Fergal.
I just feel that this side had a bit more gumption to it. Last side was just. I honestly could not name you a single track of Now 5.
I know what you mean, and I feel the same about this, but they've got gumption of they've done the last one, and they've gone, oh, we've got away with that. Let's gumption it up, and it's even worse. Because before they were under the radar, just going, oh, can we get away with this? Oh, we've managed to sell a few hits on Now. And now we've gone, right, let's lean into it. We've Nick Kershaw'd it. We've, you know, Level 42'd it. Like, it's buggering shite, but Fergal Sharkey, A Good Heart, stands out for me, and I liked it.
Yeah, me too. And I don't think it's necessarily Fergal that's making the song good. I think it's props to his backing singers. Like, they're carrying him, really. Yeah, is it a power ballad? I think it is a power ballad, and I'm here for it. And would you have it on at your wedding, Louis?
Absolutely not. No, this is just it's just the best of a bad bunch is what we're talking here. I liked it in the context of it. It was a sweet respite, a mirage in the desert of of nonsense. But yeah, that's me. Okay. It's been a hard week. James, what are you thinking?
I agree. I think it's a fantastic song. I really like it. A very good pop song with great chorus and emotive verses. I think it's the kind of song that gives people strength. I think people relate to it a lot. You know, like, a good heart is hard to find for some people, and it can take many years for them to find one. So I think his voice is really, really good. Some of the lyrics are pretty simple, but kind of nice. As I look back on my childhood dreams, my ideas of love weren't as foolish as they seemed. If I don't start looking now, I'll be left behind. And a good heart these days is hard to find. It's nice.
Yeah, it does the job, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's great. I think Fergal Sharkey, I like his voice.
He's got a very weird head. He looks like a skull. I think he looks like he's sort of like, what are they called? The funny bones. Yeah,
funny bones, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you can really see his skull, you know? You know, like when you, it's like just the skin is sticking to it, exactly. They've got two drummers, which I always think is quite funny. Mm. They've got two sets of drums exactly the same. You think, well, what's the point of them? Well, there's the gumption at work.
Yeah.
So it's quite an interesting song in terms of its context. Written by then Justice frontwoman Maria McKee about her relationship with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers keyboard player Bentmont Tench. and produced by Eurythmics' Dave Stewart. It was Fergal Sharkey's third single. Now, Sharkey followed up this single with another song, but written by Bentmont Tench, called You Little Thief. And it was basically Tench's side of the argument. So a bit like
a Fleetwood Mac situation.
Absolutely. Or like an Amon and Frankie, I was thinking more of.
Diss you right back. That one,
absolutely. Yeah. Mario Winans, I Don't Want to Know. The Pirates. So I thought it was nice to see maybe an early version of that. Was Fleetwood Mac before that, James?
Yeah,
70s.
When's Rumours? Rumours, 1978. Yeah. Well, definitely before this, yeah.
Okay. Nice. Well, it got me down a bit of a rabbit hole, wondering about where Amon and Frankie were these days.
Oh, bring it on. Let's go.
Bring it on. Well, I want to, you know, prepare yourselves, because the beef isn't true, and they actually didn't know each other. It was pure marketing, I'm afraid. Obviously, because she covered his song. Well, he did create the song, and he was an artist before. You know, he did get royalties because it was a cover, so he didn't really mind, but he did find it very annoying because it was so popular, and obviously people kept saying, oh, you're going to get back together, or what actually happened? And actually it was just some record company jumping on the bandwagon.
I don't believe in anything anymore.
But I'll tell you what will get you to believe in again is Amon's release a Christmas album in 2023.
Ooh. Oh, is that going to be our Christmas album for this year?
Yes.
I was thinking how we would do Christmas things, and actually that's the best way to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
Featured Christmas album, of course.
Yeah. Perfect. Be fun.
Okay, Amon up first. We've got many years. Bob Dylan that we could do as well.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah. They just sounded like sort of like husks now. So good.
Very Christmas.
Yeah.
Did they do a Spaceman Came Traveling? Probably not. I've got a lovely YouTube comment to end this one on, Louis.
Please.
And it goes to show the power of this song. This came out just before I met my husband, Gareth. We were together 34 years until I lost him in 2020 to pancreatic cancer, 58 years old. This lovely song takes me right back there to those times in the 80s. Wish I could go back. Love you, Gareth. Miss you, love.
Oh,
that's nice, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah, I saw that too. It's very nice. There's a lot of message. You mentioned this the other week, James.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of this outpouring from a sort of, well, dare I say, an age graphic group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That find solace and community on YouTube for these songs of their, you know, their history, their romantic past. It's very heartbreaking, honestly, watching these YouTube videos. Well, looking at these comments, because all of them are flooded with it, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, even I've seen your comments on the Aim and Frankie videos.
I can't believe they're not together.
20 years ago, this was real music.
It was like the first time I ever had TMF and the hits on Freeview, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they play it like 4 times an hour, back to back. And you just be like, well, I can't not sort of be into it after a while, really, you know? But yeah, sweet, sweet comments.
Can you try and do the intro to this song to introduce it, Lou?
Well, I didn't really know this one.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I only know a couple of them.
I think I thought in my head you were a big Annie Lennox fan, or you were.
Well, I like her. I haven't spent the time, really. But yes, I did sort of say that last time, didn't I? Not everything I say is true.
Don't hold me to any of these contractual obligations.
Yeah. What do they say? Anything in this podcast may not reflect anything. That now because
any depictions of real life characters is completely coincidental.
Now, Virgin EMI and EMI Records do not affiliate with this podcast.
Yeah. Any truth to Branson as well.
Well, yes, called me bang to rights there, you two. Eurythmics, there must be an angel playing in my heart, playing with my heart, because I've made it up and I've lied to that angel. I do not know as much Eurythmics as I've purported is a good word.
You said it, caught.
As he said, all of these recordings can go back against me. They'll seize you on laptops, James. Extradite me to the Netherlands.
Crimes.
More crimes in the Hague. With who? Who was it with?
Didn't he send to? Oh, Boy George. Boy George, war song. Yeah,
absolutely. Started a few wars over that. Okay, so it's only Eurythmics' only number one single now, for good reason.
Oh, it's phenomenal, isn't it? Although, in parts, it does sound a bit like you've sunken into a video game and are getting electrocuted along the way. That's not. That might just be my dodgy AirPods.
You get a little buzz every time.
It's got a bit of a choir, dare we say a gospel choir.
I think we could.
A huge horn section, and I love the fact that Stevie Wonder is playing the harmonica on it as well. And her singing sounds like a choir of angels, which is, it's not anthropomorphous, it's, what is it?
Onomatopoeia.
That's when something sounds like what it is. Would that be it? Anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's get your mate Nick on it.
Nicky boy, need it again.
Need it again, as always. Mal, liking the love. I'm liking the love, mate.
Did anyone listen to the Pavarotti Annie Lennox crossover?
No,
it's phenomenal.
No one else on earth is like this.
He's singing in Italian, and she's stood there in a like really glittery two-piece suit, looking like so happy, bouncing around, and
he's
very orange. Belting it out.
He's like, "You up, mate? Speak English, mate." Oh, she's Scottish, isn't she? So, no.
Speak English, mate.
What are you saying? Oh, yeah.
I remember hearing on something somewhere that Pavarotti was like notoriously late to everything. Mm. Like, he would, even if you were in his house, he'd invite you round, he'd open the door, and then he'd go, "I'll just be with you in a minute." And he'd like go off for like a couple of hours, like, have a nap, eat something. Have another nap, and then you'd be out in 3 hours or something.
I thought you were going to say that Pavarotti was Scottish. He's from Kilmarnock.
Pavarotti. Jim?
I just wrote genius, genius, genius. I think it's an absolute masterpiece of a song. I mean, what a start. What a start. What a voice. The delivery of so many lines. The boom. You know, I think it's probably one of the greatest electro pop songs there is, especially of the 80s. The bridge is fantastic. The I must be hallucinating. The piano, and I just think if you heard this on the radio in 1985, I'd just be like, wow, it's incredible. Nothing has ever sounded like that before. Not much has sounded like it since, to be honest. And I love that bit at the end where she goes back to the intro. She goes back to the da 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 da. You know, it's just like so well constructed. And then of all the people to play harmonica, Stevie Wonder, who's like phenomenal. I think this is, I was thinking this album has got two songs that I would consider masterpieces. And I don't know if that is happens on the other albums. So this is James's masterpiece list.
Yeah, and so, nice. I like the delay. Keep the break in. The must list. Yeah, definitely keep that.
A new segment in the podcast where I mark the bad masterpieces of the ages. Yes.
And you have to choose 15 masterpieces per side every time.
Yes. So, Nick, come on down. No, that's. What did you think, Louis?
Look, I think I've had a different week. I think I haven't put the time in. I think things have washed over me, maybe trying to do things, too many things at once. And it didn't hit like the others did for me, this song. As in the other Eurythmics songs.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And I almost feel guilty about that because I've just listened to 30 seconds of it while you were talking. And I can see the appeal. And I think, James, you really hit that where if you were in the 80s and this came on, you'd be like, God, there's some bloody hope. There's some bloody hope yet, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I do really want to listen to the Pavarotti version as well. I'm always liking these opera crossovers where they sort of, like, what's it, like Rita Ora hangs out with Botticelli. Did a little song together a couple of years ago. So I'm always like that sort of like once every 6 months, I happen down that YouTube avenue. Then I watch like Nessun Dorma, Conte Partito, whatever it is. And I just
Conte Partito.
Partito. Conte Partito. And then I have a little cry. It's always good to let those tears out. But anyway, I witter on. I think What's the Deal sums it up perfectly for you two, not for me, but. I've played this song for a few friends. None of them liked it. Clearly, I need new friends. So I hope we're still friends after, not instant. But I did like another comment, which I think seemed to be true. Someone else, don't know who. I love how they have a perfect song for every stage of falling for someone.
It's
just nice. So they're not just love, love, love. They're like, they're all the emotions.
Sweet dreams.
You know, they probably had a little copy of Kissing with Confidence in their back pocket, you know.
And not like divorced dad Phil Collins.
Indeed. We will have some correspondence about that later. But yeah, it's a banger. I presume it's Hall of Fame for you too.
Big time. Oh, and did I say that Fergal was also Hall of Fame for me as well? Yeah.
Fair play. Was it for you, Mal?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's 2-2 in a row for you there.
Yeah.
Quality. Can't remember what Shite I picked before now.
Panic.
I did pick Fergal Sharkey with you, actually. It was a consensus. Simple Minds are still alive and kicking, and it's getting them to number 7 in the UK charts. I think my luck with them has run out from their last song. I like that last one. This sounds like a sort of just you two. It just sounds like you two, and that's all it is to me.
Yeah.
Really. Sounds like a shitter version of that last song. Don't you forget about it. I like that song. That's good. But you've just done sort of another one. I can really leave it behind. The only thing I thought was it the inspiration for Zoe Ball's Live and Kick It?
I was thinking that this morning on the way to work, yeah.
Yeah.
Quality TV show. Well, don't know about quality, but certainly defining of my childhood, right? Linford Christie's Record Breakers as well, that reminded me of.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that took me to a memory. Jeez.
That did it.
Yeah.
Still with us in Linford.
Linford?
Is he?
Yeah. Gone? No, is he dead?
I don't think so.
Well, seemed like a nice bloke.
I'd have a day off if she died. Lyrics Inspection, James and Mao, I want you to tell me what you think of this, and if they maybe just had to get the song out pretty quickly. You lift me up like the sweetest cup.
Yeah.
It's lazy as fuck, isn't it?
Pass the test. Excellent work, guys. Nice.
Lightning chocolate. Tick.
Tick. I can't even pick out some bullshit with that. Like, I can't even try and come up with a meaning. It's so literal.
Just lift a cup, don't you?
What, like, cheers?
Yeah.
Okay. Mao, are you cheersing to this?
I quite like the build-up, which intensified as we got further into it. But I agree with you, Louis. It sounds incredibly U2-esque in places. Yes. And I quite liked it when they break it down and they start mumbling, what you gonna do, again and again, and then it builds up confidently. But that does go on, like, the whole thing goes on for over 5 minutes, and boy, do those 5 minutes drag on. So yeah,
they do, don't they?
Yeah,
blimey.
Happy to not hear that song ever again. What's your take on it, James?
I mean, I think it says a lot that one of my major points of entertainment in this song was that the drummer on the video looks like he's left the oven on. Everyone, like, so the drummer, he looks like he's worried about something. It looks like he's either worried about his mortgage or he left the oven on or something. He's just got this look on his face like, And then the keyboard guy, he looks like he's in love with himself. Like, he loves the smell of his own farts. And then the bassist is kind of like slapping the bass like he's... like, oh, you know, like he's the coolest funk guy ever. And then the lead singer looks like Chris O'Dowd. And he's like flying. It looks like he's flying, doesn't it? Chris O'Dowd's flying.
I didn't think that.
And then there's sort of a lady who looks like Grace Jones. But is it Grace Jones? It's a very interesting video. I don't really know what's going on. But I just wrote, a bit too stodgy for me, but I can see the appeal. I can understand somebody else liking this, but I personally don't really get this whole thing that just because it's got loads of reverb doesn't mean it's epic. You know, hey guys, check the synth out. So, yeah, doesn't do it for me.
Can I ask what you mean by stodgy?
Stodgy, it's just like, you know, like you said, it's like 5 minutes long or just epicness, and it's hard to swallow, you know.
Cake. It's like a bit too rich.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. Cake's quite nice, so it's, I don't think it's
maybe don't like... more like a disgusting, like, KFC bucket.
It's tasty at one point, isn't it?
No.
No, is it not? I think and that first couple of bites is pretty nice. I used to ask for free KFC when I used to do Uber Eats delivery. And they used to give it to me sometimes. It was the best.
Nice.
When it's free, it's just...
Yeah, that's the secret ingredient, right?
Shits for days, though. If this was in a film, and Chris Walls is about to tell us about what his version of it, what would it be like in a film for you? What moment filled us?
Sixth Sense.
Okay.
Alive and kicking.
No.
Maybe in... Does it have to be this version of the song? Because I was thinking if somebody did another version of it.
Yeah, we can like cover it.
Period drama.
Oh, and what sort of Baroque harpsichord fashion?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Like
petticoat
like
dresses, Baroque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of Bridgerton it. Yeah.
Yeah, or The Favourite-esque.
Oh, very good. Vice it up. Well, I'll tell you, you're not far off what Chris Walls was going for. My idea is have this song in movie about my life, maybe starring Leonardo DiCaprio, as me, I survived hit-and-run attempt robbery, attempt carjacking, food positioning, attempt murder, survived car wreck when I was a kid, survived in Colorado on rails of hope, met preacher who rode bike thousands of miles to preach when I was on streets, saved a lady from being chased by a machete, saved a guy in my trailer, CPR, saved my uncle who had seizure when I was a kid, in bed cliff, shocked people I was around, grateful and thankful, God is good, like to see him as me in movie, based on true events.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can picture it, can't you?
Was this the same guy who did the Paul McCartney Yakuza comment?
No, this is his cousin.
Okay.
His cousin. But I mean, do you know what? Get him in a meeting room. I think he's got the ideas, isn't he?
Yeah, no bullshit.
The context.
You know, just the backstory.
Get the
nouns and verbs.
Get him a meeting with A24.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Greta Gerwig's calling. It's an amazing, and I think almost we had to air that because it just was absolutely the time that it's been taken. So yeah, well done, Chris. Hopefully that movie's coming out soon.
Was CPR on a different line? Because the way you said it seems like CPR was very distinct from the rest of the text.
It was a break in the text.
Was it? Yeah.
But there was no comma or space. Saved a guy in my trailer, CPR.
Mm.
My favourite bit is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit like an E. Cummings poem. Do you know E. Cummings?
Is that from Private Eye?
No, he's like a guy who'd like, he sometimes would just do like one word on one line and he'd space things out like really widely. That's probably what he's got. Let's just say that's what he was going for.
That's what he's going for. Well done, Chris. Well done. And well, hopefully he can team up with Simple Minds soon. I was going to say, yeah. All right.
Are you going to say he had a simple
mind? Yes, I was. But maybe.
Paul Myers.
I didn't. I didn't, and you said it.
A simple film for a simple mind.
Right. Tina's back. Put the kettle on. She's also got Brian over. It's Mr. Adams. And you know what? They're only in love. It's only love. Do you know what? The public didn't like it as much as they did, and that's UK 29.
Oh, 29.
It's only love, guys. It's only love.
So that
charted
charted lower than Nick Kershaw.
Can you believe?
Wow.
I thought Nick was 27, no?
I thought he was 23.
Oh.
Nick was 27.
27. And what are they? 29?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know. So
Nick Kershaw is objectively better than Tina Turner and Brian Adams.
But Brian himself was 24 at the time. A youthful 24.
A young lad, eh?
Mm-hmm. Young lad. Got a lot of stage presence.
What's he from his...
Are you joking?
Well, you know, he's come out rocking on there.
He's a rocker.
Full of spunk.
He's a rocker, but in the music video, Tina Turner's literally squaring up to him.
How do you feel about the sort of intense sing and look thing?
I think it's of an era. Does that still happen?
Is it? I found it quite uncomfortable, really. Not just this. I feel like I find it uncomfortable when singers just sing in each other's faces like that.
Yeah.
Mm. I think maybe more it's a reflection on me because I think I'd find that quite uncomfortable. So watching other people do it is more like... Because you think about, especially if you're singing, it's spit... It's breath. Mm-hmm. It's rock stars. Probably don't have the best breath, rock stars, you know. And it's all coming in at you. So while you're trying to hit those harmonies, you've got last night's dinner coming in your face. You've also got like a loud sound being sung at you.
Mm.
It's just sort of, I think, sensory overload for me personally.
Like, you wouldn't want Jimmy Somerville doing it.
And your bike is so loud this week, James. Never do that again.
Okay.
Never do that again.
Yeah.
Tell me what. I've witted on. You two, tell me, is it only love for those two?
I think on the face of it, Brian Adams and Tina Turner, quite an odd duo, aren't they? Putting them together. Mm. I mean, how old was she at the time?
Tina's his mum.
Pardon?
Tina's his mum.
She's not.
On Alan Partridge as well, where he says it's that was be- to her was he that was Beyonce's mom Tina Turner.
Well, then.
Yeah, there is a bit of an age gap, right? Is it like it's probably 10, 15, 20 years? Probably. I'd say. I mean, Tina's been there since the '60s, right? So.
So on the face of it, it seems like this won't work, but it does. Or somehow this song manages to make it work. I'm here for the hefty guitars and the fact, like we just said, that she's physically intimidating him on stage in the music video.
Yeah. And I didn't realise how tall she is.
Oh, she wears those big heels, though, doesn't
she? Your big heels.
Yeah. And I reckon the kind of shoulder pads add an element of her looking more
Defiant. And the hair.
And the hair. That's more of 7 inches.
She's like a lion, you know, like a big mane, you know.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what Mad Max does to you, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Feral.
Despite her squaring up, I've said that somehow her voice, which isn't particularly feminine, but it somehow adds a softness to Bryan Adams belting out. And I don't know if it's a tad too ridiculous and guitar-y for me, but I appreciate their effort.
That's cool.
What do you think, James?
Yeah, I put that if I was going to pay two singers to just go, yeah, you know, like that, I'd be like, let's get Tina, let's get Brian, you know? And that's all they seem to do. And this song's just like, like, it's absolutely fucking loving it. Like, I've got a fucking guitar and that's Tina Turner. We're both rocking. Like, I'd love to see a supercut of this song where they just take all the lyrics out and just have the yes. I think that'd be pretty cool. I kind of see this as like a radio 2 minute song that would come on. It's not that great, but if I was told like, oh, Tina Turner and Bryan Adams' song, and they said that's the song, I'd be like, yeah, makes sense. You know, it's kind of what you'd expect.
I thought it would come on like an American rock radio.
Yeah,
station.
You'd be like, yeah.
KBBL 102.9, we're speaking to Johnny. What do you want to hear? I want to hear Adams and Tina Turner. They're the best.
You know, I just want to rock, John. I want to rock.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it felt like.
Yeah. And I do like, it's the first time I remember of a song on the Now albums where I like songs where it goes back to the riff to restart. You know, like when there's a bit after the guitar solo or something where it just goes back to the down, 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 and then it's like, let's go.
Yeah.
I like it when a song does that. I'm trying to think of another song. Oh, like Bryan Adams just does that in Summer 69, doesn't he? Where dun, 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 dun. Anyway,
so it's like it's kind of like a early rewind.
Yeah. It's like
starting again.
Do you want to hear the isolated riff again? Well, you're gonna hear it. Yeah, let's go.
It's basically 2 minute song written and then just repeating it again, isn't it? Reload.
Imagine the engineer is like, guys, it's only 2 minutes. Can you do some more yeah yes? Sure, we can. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
My dad told me that when he went to Vancouver, he went in a restaurant and they were boasting about the fact that Bryan Adams used to be the dishwasher. He had like a plaque on the wall or something.
Oh, I like
it. It's like that's all the Canadians have got, especially on the West Coast, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Humble beginnings.
Yeah.
That's the Canadian alt-right podcast. Everybody's not going far enough. Humble beginnings.
Maybe we should. Tax less.
Anyone's interested in keeping it around for a famer?
No, thank
you.
No. And thank you. We'll leave you to your love then. Gary Moore is alone in an empty room, and for that business, he is 23 in the charts. Again, I've forgotten what on earth this is because it seems forgettable. I'm not even going to do it justice of listening to it again because I think this is a see you later. What was it? I've written, it's okay, but also no. Mal, tell us what you think. Well, I just have a quick listen to be fair.
Again, it's another kind of heavy guitar power ballad, extended guitar solo. air guitar worthy.
Very air guitar, isn't it?
Yeah. I honestly didn't have anything to say other than that. And then, oh, can we pinch Gary's nose for our E-fit?
Oof.
Oh, Gary Moore.
I don't think we've Gary's got a nose moves. Yet. And he's
like, we haven't got a nose.
Perfect.
Oh, like, oh, it's the thing, is it?
Kind of nose.
Yeah.
Like, see, on a statue or whatever.
I found a particularly good.
At the moment, we've got Nick Kershaw's eyebrows, Lamal's hair, Thomas Dolby's glasses, Errol Morris's mustache, Paul Weller's lovely white jumper, Lionel's chin, Tina's gait as she walks.
Yes.
And now Jimmy Nail's teeth. And now we've got Gary Moore's nose.
Fantastic.
Love it. Love it. Oh, my God. Honestly, how is it so hard to share an image? Anyway, you can have a look there. There's the nose in full scrunch.
Ooh. Scrunchalicious. Whoa.
Scrunchalicious, isn't it?
It's a little porker, isn't it?
I think that's because he's aged. In 1986, he's got a really cute, like, little button nose that's...
It's quite beautiful. Cute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bit piglety.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's definitely one for the school class with a name like that, isn't
Gary Moore, yeah.
Gary Moore. Oh, yeah. What's he doing now? Yeah, he's always loved Guitar Hero. Didn't see him much.
Who's Gary? So we had Paul Young. He's like the popular lad at school. Nick Haywood is like the naughty lad who's having a party and a bottle of cider. What's Gary Moore doing?
He's a bit quieter.
Yeah, I was thinking of good at maths, maybe.
Mm. Yeah.
He's picking his nose and eating it. He's known for that.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
Oh, good at maths.
But good at maths.
Do you think he hangs around the dinner ladies sometimes at school? Because he's a bit scared, a bit anxious.
And the rumour is one of them's his mum, so that's what it's about.
I had that at school. My mum was a dinner lady for a short period of time.
Well, it's not wrong with it.
Yeah.
There you go. But were you teased about it?
No, not really.
That's good.
Because I was so cool. I was such a jock. So listen, man, don't mess with me. I'm Brian Adams. It's only love. Yeah.
I think another element of this song, which I feel has died a death, is the fade out.
Man.
End of songs. You know, it's quite uncommon. I'm trying to think back to the last sort of song I memorably know. I feel like Oasis's early albums have them on. But sort of late 90s, I think this started to die a death a little bit.
Yeah, isn't it something to do with, like, they never thought they'd have to, like, they didn't play them live? It's sort of like they didn't ever really think about, because of all this new technology, I don't think they knew about how they would actually end these songs live, so they just did a fade out, I think.
Wow.
Because you'd set a synth to go and go and go.
Yeah.
Or your drum machine to go and go and go, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting. It just felt a bit lazy, doesn't it? You know, it feels like, oh, yeah, it'll be all right, just set it down.
It's kind of like it never ends as well, which is kind of just kind of nice about that.
Yeah, I'm not against it. It's just I sort of reminded of it in this song.
Yeah.
In the video, he has a guitar and a snow shaker. Fun fact. Because he loves guitars.
I didn't mind this song. I mean, I've got this thing where, like, my old housemate from uni, he used to play it, and I think he got it off his dad. Mm. And I seem to remember him playing it, and that kind of, like, made me like it a bit.
Mm.
But now when I listen now, I'm a bit like, it's not very good. But, yeah, that's all I'll say. Yes. Pointless. Right. Yes.
Should we leave him and Thin Lizzy in their empty room?
Yeah, the Simple Minds.
All right. Well, when I, on the count of three, we're all going to say the word we all know we're going to say, don't we?
What word is it?
It's Marillion.
It's Letter Sack. It's time for our Letter Sack.
Letter Sack.
Letter Sack.
Letter Sack. Letter Sack. Sponsored by Dettol.
Well, in the Letter Sack this week, we have got a letter from Chris. And Chris says, "For me, the thing about Phil Collins is the tone of his voice. Very authentic and emotive. The reason people think he's cheesy is because of the 80s polish all over the production. This makes him an easy target for music elitists like us. I like your culture observation about Duran Duran making music for bank managers, given that it was in the mid-80s. I always liked Wild Boys, but your comment has made me think of coked-up bank managers chanting along to it after work. And that's from Chris. Home truths there, gang.
Truthful leanings.
Do you think if Phil Collins' music was produced now, he'd be as popular? With a noughties, tens, twenties polish on it?
I envisage what that would look like, to be honest.
I know. It's quite a hard thing to imagine, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the 80s polish Chris is talking about, though. Isn't that his polish, though? It's Phil's polish.
It's Phil's polish, ultimately. He's a pioneer of the polish.
Yeah, he loves the polish. So is Chris saying that were it to be a bit cut back, a bit like my friend's Big Country, who can't seem to mix a song for their for their lives.
Yeah.
If Phil Collins was stripped back and raw.
We want censored raw Collins.
Well, I guess if you think what's synonymous with perfect music, what do we always come back to? Bob Dylan, right? What's that raw man and a guitar? It's raw, isn't it?
We want Phil naked with just a guitar covering his private parts.
I bet that was an idea one time he had and it got shouted out.
I bet there's been a calendar.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm sure if not, AI has made one already. So, I appreciate Chris's thoughts, Mal. Are we going to give him his dues?
Thank you for writing in, Chris. Do we know Chris? Is Chris a friend of ours?
Chris is a friend of mine, yes.
Okay. I thought it might just be somebody random that might be listening.
Well, James Ken, what are you gonna say about Chris? What's his history?
Chris, he's a good lad. He's from Peterlee. He's from the northeast. He's generally got a good taste in music, I'd say. He's a bit of a metalhead, though. So
interesting, Phil and metal. You can collect
bit of cheese and metal. You know what I mean? One of those guys.
Mm.
But it's got a general broader taste. Yeah, broad that's appreciation.
That's true, actually. You know, last week I was in the pub watching Arsenal and I was a bit early and the people on the table I'd booked were some lads who were going to the Forum to watch a gig. So I, shared a pint with them and there were two lads from Tunbridge Wells. Shout out to Laurie and the other one. But the other one said, I said, what band are you going to see? And he said, Hailstorm. And I was like, wow, okay, so that's kind of metally, I guess.
Chainsaw music.
Chainsaw music. And I was like, oh, do you like anything else? And he's like, yeah, well, in a couple of weeks I'll see UB40. So I thought it was a real jump. But then I realized it was called Hailstorm. Because I saw someone with a t-shirt on it. And just to let you know what kind of genre it is specifically, when I dialed into it, it's pirate metal. So Chris might know something a little bit about that. And that just means they sing, it's metal music, but they just sing about rum and stuff like that. Treasure.
Are you joking? That's
fucking pathetic.
Not even joking. That's what he said. Maybe he was having me on.
So,
Hailstorm? Where'd you begin? Because how many songs can you write like that? Barely an album's worth. Oh, yeah, they're all dressed as pirates.
I mean, associated words with pirates, like gold, cove.
Drink.
Parrot.
I'm just listening to it now.
James?
Do you want to know how many views it's got?
Should we guess?
Yeah.
Is it thousands or millions?
I'm not going to tell you.
350,000.
44 million views.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, everyone check out Hailstorm's song, Drink. It sounds exactly how you imagine it. Chris, probably a big fan.
I like his comment about Wild Boys because I can imagine them all on the stock market floor after a day's trading, crashing the economy. Just being, Wild Boys, Wild Boys. Do you know that song, Duran Duran?
No.
It's basically just shout Wild Boys a lot.
So do you think Wolf of Wall Street missed a trick, really, though?
Yeah, exactly. You should have been Duran Duran in there, I think.
Well, yeah, Chris and, well, actually, it was Chris Walls who had that movie idea, so maybe they're one and the same. Chris, you either need to talk or talk to yourself about getting yourself into a meeting at Universal Studios, mate. You got some ideas. All right. Okay, throwing the letter sec down the dungeon for another day.
Down the dungeon.
All right, moving on to everybody's favourite philosopher, Marillion. And their fish. His name is Fish. The lead singer's name is Fish. I also don't really have a first name. All us is he must be called Mark Fish or something, mustn't he?
He changed his name to Fish or something, yeah.
Wow, imagine that on your tax return. Marillion with Lavender. Their ponderings on Lavender. Coming in at a surprising number 5. In El Chartos. James, what are your thoughts on Lavender?
I mean, maybe I sum it up in this one sentence, but a song for an American flatulence medicine advert. You know when it's like, your dislike can you down? Do you need to take a break? You know, these kind of, I don't know. Yeah. I knew OxyContin, the latest from California Pharmaceuticals. If you feel flatulent in the morning, take 2 OxyContin and you'll feel fine. Because it's got this kind of like dreamy vibe about it. But yeah, no, yeah, I think it's a really bad song. And I hate Marillion. The way that they're just clearly, it's almost like written by a formula, you know, like to how to like get idiots who don't have any actual like artistic sensibilities to like a song. I just hate it. All that dilly dilly shit in the chorus.
Dilly dilly shit is annoying, like, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh my God, it's so middle of the road and boring and these lyrics that are just so forced about your childhood that are just so sickeningly obvious. No nuance or no three dimensions to it at all. It's just sickly.
Yeah,
sickly,
it's
rubbish.
It's a cowpole of a song.
Yeah.
Mal, what are you? Are you putting Lavender in your baths? If you had a bath?
No, I don't have a bath. I don't have a bath here. I've only got a shower, which is terrible. I was walking in the park, dreaming of a spark. He might say that 4 times. I mean, it was bad enough the first time. Yet yeah. He continues to repeat it. And honestly, I can't even be asked to say anything about it apart from when he says, "A penny for your thoughts, my dear," which sounds like quite my chemical romance-y. And it not in keeping with the rest of the song at all.
It goes sort of faux American.
Yeah. And then at one point it sounds like he made someone wind him because he just takes a huge gulp of air before he says, "Wind." Quite amusing.
Imagine someone off camera just I'll give him a little bit of leeway. The song is based on a folk song called Lavender's Blue, an old children's song. Lyrically he could change it, but I think he tried to stay true to obviously a youthful memory of his or the band's. However, it doesn't necessarily excuse it. What also is inexcusable is it is one of my Hall of Fames. Which is, usually I'm not really regretful or embarrassed about my choices, but this week I am. I don't know what happened to me last week listening to this side. I really don't, because now I've listened to more 30-second clips in the last couple of hours and I regret it. But you've got to stay strong. I thought it at the time, and I'll stick to it. I quite liked it. It's absolutely ridiculous, but I quite like that. It's unashamed. It's emotional, soft, Louis rock. But it's so unbelievably clean. It is obviously, I agree with what you say, James. I don't think it's at all clever. I don't think it's dynamic. I think it is a bit sickly, but it's ridicule. And I think it's like It's a bit why I like the Damned the other week, and how they're just like a bit gothy and a bit maybe going against the grain a bit, and actually they don't really care. They're not trying to step into something. They're not trying to be wacky Nick Kershaw. They're not trying to be... They're just like, we are not even that great. But you know what? I don't care, because I'm quite enjoying it. I mean, his look, for one thing, in this video, I don't know if you've seen it, his bloody look. He's got strands of fringe, just strands, not all of it, just little bits scraped over the forehead, two tiny pigtails, and then a sort of English colonial army jacket, which is quite like Gary Moore, actually, as well. His hair is quite different. And I just thought, you don't give a fuck, mate, do you? You don't give a fuck.
Like, changed his name to Fish, so clearly, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he's called Fish. So do you know what? Maybe that's actually more of a doff. It's a doff, isn't it? I don't know if I've doffed. I'm changing it from a hoff to a doff. It's an off. It's a mid-change.
I mean, he's corrupt. He probably lives in a massive mansion now, so, I mean, it's full, right, full on me, isn't it?
He's done all right. He's done all right. Mm. All right. That's enough of them. Oh, Uncle Elton is back, and he's brought a friend, Nikita, and they're going in at number 3 in the UK charts. Is it my turn?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's fine, isn't it, is what I've put. And at this point, I'm commenting generally as well, this whole album has just been so below average for me. I'm just down and out at this point. I think I've lost my subjectivity. Yeah, I've sort of forgot it. Nikita, I can't really remember it now. Yeah, one of his lesser songs. Yeah, it's quite catchy. You like it?
Yeah, it's fine. But although I don't know if he's singing about a woman, because did everybody know at this point that Elton is a gay man or not?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, Nikita's a male name as well, right?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
But then now in the video, it's clearly a woman, so...
Yeah, precisely. Anyway, I written that it sounds like Elton went to Benidorm and came back with a slightly Spanish-infused enthusiasm for a song. Yeah. You know, the little bit of twist, Spanish twist to it. Yeah.
Bernie, have you had this tapas? Have you had it? Absolutely blinding. Little dinners. You can have loads. You just have loads. Brilliant. And it was lovely waiter, Nikita. You know, sing about him. Sing about him or whatever. Don't worry. Yeah, Russian name. John was very aware about that. So that's a nice nod from John. Cashbox said, the tune is as sensitive as the subject matter. Another nail in their coffin there. James, would you say?
I put, it's my favourite song about seducing an East German border patrol guard that I've ever heard. The video is really fun. Like, Ellen's like basically been a voyeur to this female border guard in Berlin. It's very strange.
It's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, hands over his passport, and it's like a picture of him in the car from when he was handing in his passport, which is so strange. Nick Kershaw on guitar, good George Michael on the vocals at the end, on the little harmonizing parts, which is a nice touch. I've always quite liked this song, and I'm going to go deep here, but I've always really liked that lyric, "You'll never know anything about my home," and I've often felt this thing where, you know, I know a lot of couples who are from different countries and things like that, and I felt it myself where, you know, like growing up where you grow up, or somebody could never know what it's like to be you or be from your hometown, or what your school was like, or your parenting, or what it was like to run on the, go on the park after dinner, you know. And just sometimes I felt like, yeah, there's certain things that are just totally unknowable about somebody, about how they were, what their childhood was like, or how they were brought up. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes I've always felt that a bit as well, you know, like living in Europe and living in Amsterdam, where people go like, oh, where are you from? And, you know, people will be like, oh, I'm from Barcelona. I'm from Milan. I'm from Berlin. I'm from Copenhagen. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, I've been there. It's great. And then I'd be like, I'm from near Leeds. And they'd be like, oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
And like, it's just like, insert page here, you know, nothing. And I just always have this thing where I'm like, okay, yeah, you'll never know anything about my home. I don't know,
that's a good lyric.
I've always liked that lyric. Although I struggle a bit with this song because this, like, orientalizing the Russians and this Russian border guard, a bit like, your bombs and guns will hold you back. And when you look through the barbed wire, it's like trying to me, there is part of me that's wondering, like, Jet Elton's obviously, he feels a bit tongue-in-cheek, but he's also making out almost like Russians just aren't people, if you know what I mean. Like, oh, we're the ones who are free. You're the ones all behind the barbed wire. Like, Soviet Union was pretty impressive in some of the things it did, you know, like, it was full of people who were very thoughtful and poets and scientists and philosophers and mathematicians and, yeah, I don't know. I mean, probably not even. I'm probably thinking way too much about it, but it's very much like othering the Russians as like being different.
Everyone kind of aligns with what was going on.
Yeah, and it's kind of like saying, well, if you could jump over that barbed wire and be with me, you know, that'd be great. And I don't know. It's this idea like, is he behind the barbed wire maybe as well? You know, I mean, obviously, I don't think the Soviet Union's been was a great experience for anybody, but yeah, I just think it's just way too simplistic, and I'm really overthinking things at this point. But I thought about it when he's talking about the lyrics and talking about, oh, you're so oppressed, you know, get with me, I'm really free and happy. Yeah.
Okay. What do you mean by orientalizing?
You know, it's just like, you know, orientalizing is common more so with like Japanese people or Chinese people, where you kind of, they're always seen as like different and exotic, and you know, you almost reduce them to a stereotype of like they're just strange or exotic or can't be known.
All right,
but they're human too, you know. Right. And that's what's missed from it. You know, you see it a lot with like the way that maybe like Western men see Japanese women or Korean women or whatever as submissive or something like that, that is kind of orientalizing them to a certain extent.
Now that sort of makes sense. Do you think that was Nick Kershaw's ambition when he wrote his guitar piece to this?
Yeah, that's what he was going for, Nick, yeah.
Absolutely.
I didn't really get this Spanish thing that you get in, but...
Do you know?
Is it because it's just had it...
Like
it's like... Yeah. Bit
like... I feel that. Listen to the very, very start of it. Kind of seems quite... But it moves into something else, but initially that was my thing.
I'll stop ranting now.
That was good. Your rants are always good. And yes, I didn't have anything else. Sorry.
Yeah. No huff.
No huff.
No huff.
Maybe I'll doff the cap to that one. Doff the cap.
Nice. Little doff is out there then.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to a saving grace of the album, may I say. Oh, who made that little noise? That sounded about right, didn't it? If there was ever a horse.
If there was ever a horse,
Kate Bush is on it and she's running up that hill to make a deal with God. Number 3 in the charts, not number 1. Oh, my days. Hall of Fame, of course. Val, take us away.
Hall of Famer for me as well. That synthesizer and drum machine combo is phenomenal. Mm. And what you were saying before, James, around the Eurythmics track, I was thinking the same around this track. If this came on in 1986 and you were driving in a car, probably crash. You'd be like, what? You know, after hearing all of the rest of this dirge and shit that we've been through, this comes on whilst you're driving. Holy moly. It's just
pull over, breathe into breathe into a paper bag, call your mum and just say, I love you, everything will be all right, don't worry. Like,
just imagine a radio DJ being like, and that was Get Out of Your Sleepy Bed by Matt Bianco, and coming up next is Kate Bush with Running Up That Hill. You're like, what the fuck?
It's like, it's two worlds apart. She is another world. This is another world, this song. This is inspired Yeah, James, you're with us here, aren't you?
Yeah, it's another one of James's masterpieces.
Yeah, I thought so.
Sponsored by Dental.
Ronsil.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely amazing. I really love that lyric. Oh, tell me we both matter, don't we? You know, I talked a few episodes back about, I think there's certain lyrics that just like go straight to the heart. And I think it's definitely one of them where you're just like, fucking hell, that's amazing. Such a simple line.
And just a little bit before that, just to read them all. You don't want to hurt me, but see how deep the bullet lies. Unaware I'm tearing you asunder. Oh, there is thunder in our hearts. Is there so much hate for the ones we love? Oh, tell me we both matter, don't we? Brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay.
Absolutely fantastic. And dare I say, like, you know, there are words in there that are banded about by a lot of these other artists that we've talked about, but the simplicity with which she's maneuvered them into place along with the music that hits all three of us, no question, and many, many others, and a whole new generation through Stranger Things, in the latest series or whenever it came out. It's just phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Great.
She's from another planet, right? Kate Bush again.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the same way that Annie Lennox would be absolutely insane. I mean, I almost think like there's almost like things that go beyond words with this song, that it's important. There's so much been said about it. I'm glad that it's got its dues in this century for what it is, you know.
It's really nice that it's come back. I remember having the, I knew this obviously, but I also heard it in season 4, episode 1 of the OC when Ryan runs away and they play this at the end when he's sort of in a sort of fight club in a sort of boxing pub or something. And then it's just a placebo, quite even more mournful kind of atmospheric version, as you can imagine. It's good. I recommend, but obviously not a touch on it. Rolling Stone placed it at number 60 in its 2021 list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. Very fair, I think. Could be higher. I think I could go out on a limb and say this is the best song we've had so far in all of the podcasts for me.
Yep, I'd agree.
Woof. Mal, are you gonna come with us on that hill? Don't have to. You can run up it. We can push you down it.
Wasn't there a Pointer Sisters song that I really loved?
Jump for Your Love the other week.
Yeah.
Yeah?
We didn't get to that, did we? Was it Love Wars?
Love Wars.
I was also in Love Wars, yeah. It's hard. I couldn't get so many things coming out of my mouth at once. I couldn't get past this song when listening to this side of the album. Like, I kept doing the same thing. Yeah, I was like, I mean, it's not going to get any better, is it? So I may as well just keep playing this. It's phenomenal.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I'm on the fence as if to it.
You don't have to.
We've come across. But
that was me being bullying. I was just trying to bully you into that, mouse. So don't worry too much at all. From the Song Meaning website, we've got someone called Non Croyant saying, "And to the ignorant children who say that Placebo did it better, you're idiot, trash with no taste. Kate began her career in the late 70s, and many different musicians from various disparate musical genres credit her as a formative influence and inspiration. Musically speaking, the members of Placebo aren't worthy of being in the same room as Kate Bush. And I bet the members of Placebo would agree with me." The comment below is from Brian Maloko from Placebo.
Wow.
"I am a member of Placebo, so allow me to answer. No, I do not agree with you. Kate Bush is a musical genius, however, Brian."
He always seemed all right, that Brian Molko guy.
Yeah.
Nasty Boy's a great song.
They've got some good tunes. I like his voice as well.
Yeah, very interesting to that.
Yeah.
Every me. Yeah.
That was one of your best impressions, actually. Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I could make
a deal with God.
Is that how he said? Yeah. Is he Canadian? Or is he English?
Oh, that might be, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Another Nancy boy.
I've got a fact here about this song as well, which I just want to run by you, and it cannot be true.
Hmm.
Bush first performed the song live in 1987 at the Secret Policeman's Third Ball, accompanied by Pink Floyd guitarist Dave Gilmour. She did not perform it again until her 2014 Before the Dawn concerts.
Wow.
That's mad, isn't it?
But also, isn't she the kind of person, she only does a tour every blue moon, right?
Oh, right. So, yeah. Right, okay, bet.
Not literally every blue moon. I know she's like a druid person.
Only
when the moon goes blue shall I return to the stage.
Yes, I feel a bit like it, doesn't it? On 22nd June, obviously, 2023, Spotify reached 1 billion total streams on the platform. In response, Bush wrote, "I have an image of a river that suddenly floods and becomes many, many tributaries, a billion streams on their way to the sea. Each one of these streams is one of you. Thank you so much for sending this song on such an impossibly astonishing journey. I'm blown away."
That's nice.
Good old K.
Class.
Good old K. Bit of class.
Yeah.
Bit of class. Not sure what a stream is, but other than that, talk about rivers, Kate.
She's like a granny now. She's like, "Well, Spotify." What do you mean, stream?
Why is everyone in the river? Well done, Kate. One of the best songs so far. Thank you for it. Moving on to level 42. And, you know, there's something about you, apparently. James, what are you thinking? Because if it's me, I've got nothing. I've got absolutely nothing.
I've just put interesting lyrically, but not very catchy. It's almost like the lyrics are almost like too cryptically good. If you know what I mean? That they don't rhyme or they don't give you a sense of the song and don't really speak to you. I mean, you read them and you're like, oh, okay. You're not messing around here. But yeah, and then the chorus is a bit, just passes you by. I think they're one to watch for the future. Because they're obviously doing like interesting ideas, a bit like Fine Young Cannibals last time. That I'm like, oh, okay, these lads are doing something funky, a bit interesting, but not hitting it here. Maybe later they'll come with something better.
Same goes for their music video, kind of ambiguous. What's going on? Black and white on the train, in colour in the studio with some whilst painting. I didn't quite
sort of a bit like
really Mario, but. Like you, Lily, and you, James, I've said it's a pretty boring and drab song.
Yeah, forgettable. Is that one word I've put? I think I was losing the will to live at this point. It's got very basic. The research is waning, so you're going to have to help me out for the next four songs because I think I was just sick of it.
But that's okay. The end of this album is not great. So.
It's not great at all. Yeah. It's number six for level 42. Something about you. I've highlighted some lyrics, but. I'll do this live because I haven't put any comments, so I don't know if these are good or bad or whatever I thought of them. So, fresh take. Drawn into the stream of undefined illusion, those diamond dreams, they can't disguise the truth.
But it's just also not that good. It's kind of good and not good.
It's a bit Duran Duran, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I think if you're trying to be too clever, then we're not going to... But again, maybe, you know, it's like I said the other week about maybe like Jimmy Neutron and Brodsky Pizza. Tell me why, like the lyrics written down, okay, yeah. But I'm not sort of getting them across when you've got... in your ear.
Can you give us a tell me why?
Tell me why! It sounds a bit like that, the tone of when you're trying to sleep and a mosquito comes in. But yeah, should we leave that in the dust?
Let's leave them on level 42.
Level 42. The only they're called because they like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's the only reason.
I think like that their album was called Level Up. I like that.
Level up.
I don't know why I liked it, but it's kind of like level 42, level up.
It was, another Tory party policy.
Right. Yeah.
Let me, that'll come back to the haunt them. Play that at the conference. Ah, amazing. Thatcher wins again. Oh, my God. Number six, though. Forgot to mention that. But who cares? We've got Tina back. And she doesn't need another hero because she's just got paid a lot of money to be in Thunderdome. And she'll go to number three with a song that's meaningless because it's written for a film. And that's my bugbear with songs like that that's come up a couple of times. Music for film, very integral, not knocking that. But for the purposes of what we're doing here, meaningless. It's a song that is created for a reason rather than a feeling or an emotion. But to be fair, we've had enough of those and they don't pan out too well. Mao, have you seen Thunderdome?
I have not seen Mad Max Thunderdome. It's, don't think it's really my bag.
No, neither am I. Mad Max. No, not bothered.
Oh, yeah. Fury Road is amazing.
Is it?
It's one of the best action movies of all time, in my opinion.
Is it?
I'm a big action fan, really.
No, I read a review that just said it's a bunch of models driving around a driving around the desert in some
truck. No, it's way better than that, trust me. Non-stop action for like 2 hours where it's like adrenaline's off the charts.
Yeah, that's bomb tackle.
The art direction's incredible as well. Like, the way it looks, just class.
That film sounds knackering. I'm tired.
It is, genuinely. You're tired. Can we have a break now? Because we've been chasing each other for...
They're just constantly on a desert buggy being chased.
Yeah. I don't know why, but it works.
Sounds like an anxiety dream. Ugh, endless. Thunderdome, not going to be on your watch list. Will Tintana's We Don't Need Another Hero?
Quite like the gallopy tempo of it. And the fact that we all know what's going to happen before she starts singing. Like, we all know what that build-up is for. Yet she hesitates for like a millisecond just before she starts belting it out. Like, real teasing us.
Keeping us waiting.
Yeah.
Oh, she's cheeky, isn't she? She's cheeky, isn't she, Tina?
She is. Do you know that Phil Collins is on the drums for this one?
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, now you both said, really?
You should never doubt yourself.
It's out for a kingdom. Rate it.
Honestly, like we said, anything we say is bollocks. Yeah. Now that's what we call bollocks. It should be. T's and C's below. are you taking it to your Thunderdome, Marisa James? Are you taking it to the Thunderdome with you?
You talking to me or James? All I wanted to say, the last thing, is that the sax solo is really something, but then they seem to shoehorn a children's choir in, and it doesn't seem to quite gel up. It's like they just threw a few more things at it before it ended.
Definitely threw a few children at the end. Getting stuck in the horn. James, have you got a Thunderdome you like to call your own?
It's when I fart in the bath, it's thunder.
Thank you.
Hey. Maria's face. I'll probably cut that out. I agree with you. They're very contrived. Like, what the fuck is a Thunderdome? You know? We don't need another... What's the lyric? She says, we need to see beyond Thunderdome. It's like, what the fuck are you on about? Like,
it's
a gladiator arena, apparently, in the movie.
Yeah.
It's like, what does he even mean?
Like
Mao said, love the sax and the choir's just kind of shoehorned in, but it takes ages to actually like really start pumping. And I also just wonder, like, how far down the list of post-apocalyptic stars was Tina Turner on the, you know what I mean? Like, who do we get? You know, they're out in the boardroom. Who do we get to be our post-apocalyptic queen? It's like, Tina Turner? Sure. You know, it's like, maybe they saw her intimidating Brian and thought, well, she's fucking massive.
She'll do you up in the Thunderdome.
Who looks like a lion? Lions are strong.
Yeah, true. Have you had someone feature twice on the same side before, or let alone album?
No.
I feel like we said Giorgio Moroder came in, but it's always kind of like...
In the background.
Kind of half-half, isn't it? Like Nick Kershaw there.
Yeah.
It's never been like full front and center name, so... Hats off to Tina, at least. Big year. But other than that, I've got literally nothing to say about it.
Yeah.
Fair play.
keep it in the dome.
All right.
Yeah.
Flush it down the dome. UB40 coming at number three with Don't Break My Heart. I mean, I really can't speak for these last lot, gang. I've got nothing. It's doing no testament to our listeners. It's boring. It's. I wanted to give them a chance. I quite liked. Stick to doing covers, lads. I think seriously, we realize now why. And when I put this song in to look it up, you know how, what's it called? Featured snippets. I think is it that Google does where it has the questions you want to ask.
Yeah,
and you pull it down, and all of them were. Do UB40 have any original songs?
Really?
And obviously it's known about them. And again, like, if you can churn it out, there's an argument for it, but this isn't one of them, lads, you know. Oh, my dear. James, you're with me there? Have you broken my heart? Don't break it.
Stuck in first gear and it ain't even trying to get out into second. It's just like,
yeah.
Oof, yeah. Tepid, as Mal likes to say. I love that word.
Mm.
It's barely moving, and there's not really much, like, you know, usually you'd expect UB40 to have at least like a nice reggae guitar or a bass that's kind of like keeping things tight, but it's very, yeah, no. They seem to have made the same song multiple times and just released it, it feels like. But no, not a fan. Barely noteworthy.
I am shook by the fact that you said first gear, because I've written it doesn't really go anywhere. It stays in first gear all the way round the block.
Wow.
Both having the same thought process.
There we go. Yeah.
You're getting cosmic, you two. Psychic.
I've also said it's a little reggae-infused ditty, but it's an odd one because this is pretty much the only song that we come to on this album that doesn't sound like they're trying. Sounds like they all got dragged into the studio and were made to record.
They don't seem to change the emotion, the tempo, the drum beat, the bass line. Just
coasting.
Yeah. Coasting to a check.
Yeah, coasting to, well, number three. So quite a big check, it seems. Blimey. Well done. I'll leave you with the lyrics. But if you make me mad, you'll wish that you had not. Just a little addition of not there, just squeezing the words. Alright, you've broken my heart, UB40. See you later. Right, well, Chris will be pleased. We're going to be talking about Phil Collins and Marilyn Manson. No, Marilyn Martin. Quite different people. And the separate lives that they live, and that living separately, you know, another divorce song for Phil Collins. They live in separate houses. He lives in the shed, converted. And it's got him in at number four. It's got them in at number four. But I will say again, it's from a film, a pointless song. Marita, are you with me?
Yeah. Did anyone watch the trailer for White Nights?
No.
Sounds a bit like we're straight into KKK territory.
Blimey.
It looks absolutely terrible. And I read a review on Stereo Grand that said, the song is full of, and I quote, gloopy keyboard noodles. And it also points out, it's a romantic song about the total absence of romance. And says that Marilyn offsets the conversational Collins and howls hard.
Wow.
I think that epitomizes the song, really.
That's damning, isn't it?
It is damning.
And yeah.
The song is like damn shit.
It's damn shit, yeah. James, are you in agreement with that? And as well as that, do you think it's about time that Phil chopped his hair because he's balding now?
Yeah, I just wrote overblown divorce garbage.
Yeah.
It's just too much production. It's just drenched in reverb, like bad aftershave.
Stripped it back, to go back to our Chris Walls, your friend Chris Walls, writing a film currently in production with Leonardo.
I think, unlike Phil's other songs, which are, I think, less overproduced, I think there's raw good songs there. I don't really feel like this is a good song. Like, this chorus doesn't hold it, you know. Like, and I do think her voice is quite nice. A bit over the top, obviously, given the context of the song. But she's clearly got a nice voice. But no, I just thought it was dreadful.
Mm-mm.
It's just too much, isn't it? It's almost too 80s.
Well, exactly.
It's like a bit of pill.
Exactly. It's you know. A comment from somewhere is absolutely cringeworthy 80s standard. As usual with any Phil Collins song, there is no substance to be found in this laughable duet. And it's right. It's right. And I think I'm pleased Chris wrote in, but my God, man, you can't polish it enough. And look, you can't polish a turd, as they say. And my God, have they tried to. Yeah, it's awful. It's god awful, and the fact that again it's not even just created, it's one for a film, makes it even more pointless, in my opinion.
Do you think maybe, you know, we start to go to, and this is completely just like speculation, but you know, like people always say that grunge was a huge antidote to overproduced 80s nonsense, and maybe it's songs like this that make people just cringe, and what they want is just like a raw guitar and a raw drums, and you know, Not this, where it feels like it's been tinkered to death, you know?
Yeah, what they're wanting is a bit of sort of like pop
punk
in Blink-182 featuring an American Pie soundtrack. That's what they're after.
Later.
That comes later.
Yeah.
I'll leave you with his lyrics. I think it is a cover, though. I think that might be right. So maybe it's not. Maybe it might be
a guy called Stephen Bishop.
That's right, wrote written by someone else, right? Well, Steve, Big Bish, his lyrics here. You have no right to ask me how I feel. You have no right to speak to me so kind. I can't go on just holding on to ties now that we're living separate lives. Now, I really, in the Phil Collins way, just imagined he was in the cupboard picking out his ties going, I don't know which one's to take. You know, am I leaving this one behind? Is this one going to charity? And it was just the divorce and the parting of... Who owned what, you know? Anyway, that was just my little visage of Phil.
That's kind of sick-inducing, isn't it? That line about how dare you speak to me so kind.
Oh, it's skin-crawling, that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have got through the review process, should it?
Right.
Where's your workflow, Phil?
Yeah. What's your KPIs on that, Phil? Haven't got there. Right, let's end this bastard of an album with Cliff Richard's She's So Beautiful coming in at a disappointingly high 23. I'm honestly annoyed, I've put here at this point. This is so fucking shit. It's like that has epitomized how bad this side is. We talk about earlier about how why this is bad or this is good. And this is, can you say endemic of the album? Is that a word? This is endemic of the album. That it's so bad. The bad ones are so bad that they've made me angry. Usually the weeks when they're bad, I'm like, fucking hell, that was bad. I've come away going, no. The good ones do not even make up for the bad on this side for me. Thank you. We've had one of the best songs, and yet it's falling into the lava pit of despair. Mordor, it's falling into Mordor. Jim, what do you think? Are you Frodo? Am I Sam? You're Gandalf. What's happening?
I understand where you're coming from, because when I saw that it was Cliff, in my head I went, "Oh, go away, Cliff."
Yeah, go away. No,
after listening to this album, I'm like, "Oh God, that's the last person we need right now."
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, exactly.
It seems to be about Earth. He's in love with Earth, and it's from some cringeworthy musical that he was in, and he wants to the video. It's like he wants to shag Earth. He loves it so much.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Gives my tiny planet spins through space, gives my life to me. 15 billion human beings, where's our destiny? 15 billion? What are you
talking about? It's got his numbers wrong then.
Yeah. China. you didn't carry the three. Yeah, just it's more like, you know, Cliff's often got this very like simplistic moral Christian outlook on life and his songs. And I just want to be like, what about flesh-eating bacteria, Cliff? That's on Earth too, you know? Or a mosquito, or I don't know, something that crawls in your eye. You know what I mean? Like, it's all good. Can't stand him. I want this song to go away. The only positive was I liked the bass sound because it reminded me of Road Rash from the Mega Drive, if you're a fan of Road Rash. So if you of a certain age.
A video game nostalgic shout out.
Yeah, he said the bass line on this song from 1985 is as good as a tiny Mega Drive cartridge 10 years later. So I don't know what that says, but yeah.
Mao, are you sorry to see Cliff end out the album?
Yeah, I mean, I quite enjoyed the sped up, wonderful, beautiful, marvelous bit that was occurring towards the end of the song, if anyone made it that far, because it's
oh,
like,
God, no.
It's teams call on a Monday morning, like, how's your weekend? And everyone goes by going, wonderful, marvelous.
Head of his time.
Yeah, ahead of his time. But apart from that, like, again, just dirge. Although, have you ever heard a song called Sweet Leaf of the North?
No,
it's quite a good song, but the melody on that is the same melody at the start of this song, and therefore I quite like it. But that's the only, like, okay. I doff my hat because of its connection with Sweet Leaf of the North. No other reason.
Wow, okay. He's getting a lot of love there, a lot more love than I'd expect. I was just glad when it faded out suddenly. I didn't have to do it myself. I just want to tell you some lyrics. Children flow like waterfalls, sweeter love renew.
There.
Next one. Peace, then war, then peace again. Stupid, stupid Cliff. Absolutely stupid, mate. Cliff. And then in the video, I don't know if you've seen it, he's running around with this ball that looks like Earth. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a time sign of the times that he's got away with this, is that there's like loads of kids and like adults running around him, and it's all sort of lovely. But there's one point where there's some kids in a sort of lake, and he throws a burning ball at them, like it's fire. It lands, luckily, in the middle of them. But it's like one of those flyaway balls. Like, if that's on a windy day, little Sandra is, you know, getting her face off, honestly.
It's like, 90-degree burns.
Yeah, it's like one of those things that could have gone so wrong. I just thought, the health and safety, he's all love and that, Cliff, yeah. Earth's all good, but flesh-eating bacteria and health and safety are real things.
It would be funny if it turned out he hated children.
Oh, he must. Like,
the recording with fuck the kids.
Of course he does.
Daniel yeah. Holiday all day.
Santal solid.
Well, gang, that was a hard half for me personally. How are you gonna vote? What are you gonna do? What are we gonna do with yourselves?
Just because it's not as bad as I reckon the last maybe two or three, I'm going to give it a C-.
Wow. I was thinking the same C, because I just feel like Queen are okay, Simple Minds is okay, Eurythmics is a masterpiece, Good Heart is great, Elton John's decent, Kate Bush is a masterpiece. And I can kind of withstand level 42, Tina Turner, UB40. The last two are a bit dreadful, but yeah.
I think you two are right. I think you are correct. But my heart was in a different place last week, and it's an F.
Fair play.
Oh, and Louis, you're having a bad time of it, lad.
I don't know what's going on with me. I need a break. I need a break from these 80s. If I get out of them quick enough. But yeah, any other notes, Gary?
So we just confirm our halls of fame, my Fergal Sharkey, Running Up That Hill, and the Eurythmics.
I'm the same as James.
I'm the same as you guys, except for one, and I'm just not going to have another because I'm angry. I'm going to go to bed angry.
And we've got a very strange looking side two to this album. Where I don't know what to make of it. Not many recognizable.
Oh dear.
people. Okay.
Well, we look forward to that, and hopefully it beams me up for next week. But for now, that was then.
This is now.
This is now. See
you. Have a nice evening. Bye bye.
Bye.
We don't need another hero.
Good luck. It's hard to burn. I realised that again after. But you were all clicking by the end.
A good heart, you mean, for Bosaki?
Yeah.
Yeah. Heart these days is hard to find. There was a lass at work, and she was on about, like, she's dating a few people. And in my head, when she was talking to me, I just had this thing where, like, in my head, I was like, a good heart these days is hard to find. She was like, oh, I like this guy, but there's this other guy who's also nice. And I'm just like, good heart these days.
Did you then open the meeting? Next, just put set. Guys, just take a knee. Have a listen.
Yeah. Check out Mr. Fergal Sharkey.
Yeah. He'll sort your woes out.